Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
This holy place was where God met with the people. There's a number of different times in the Old Testament, like when David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem, it says that God, I'm bringing the ark of the covenant in where you dwell and where you meet with us. The ark of the covenant symbolized the word of God, and God met with the high priest once a year on that mercy seat, and this was the presence of God. The way into the presence of God was blocked as long as the veil still existed. Let me go back again to Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it is. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 6, "Now when these things were ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle," that's talking about the holy place, accomplishing the service of God, "but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made perfect, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." The veil was the flesh of Jesus, and that veil separated the holy place where the priest could go from the Holy of Holies where God really dwelled. In other words, they weren't truly in communion with God. There was a separation between God and man, which was sin. And until Jesus became sin for us and paid for our sin, that veil separated us and kept us from the presence of God. But when Jesus died, immediately the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The significance of that is that if this curtain was so strong that even a team of horses couldn't split it, well then certainly a 30-foot curtain rent from the top to the bottom. How could any person tear this from the top to the bottom? If they could tear it, I guarantee you they'd have to start at the bottom and work their way up. But it was torn from the top to the bottom, which just signified that this was God that split this, that through Jesus, we now have access, boldness, into the very presence of God without any fear of punishment. Boldness, confidence. Brothers and sisters, this is not what most Christians are living. Most Christians don't have confidence. They come before God into the outer court, but into the very presence of God, to where you can literally walk straight up to God on the throne without any fear of punishment, without any fear of being reproved over your sin. I don't know if I'm getting this across to you or not. But you know, if the only thing that Satan's ever had on you is sin, that's the only thing. That's the only thing that takes away confidence, is the fact that you know you don't deserve it. You don't doubt God. What you doubt is God's willingness to use His power on your behalf because you know you don't deserve it. You know, you're here on a Thursday night, and this isn't a church night. You aren't getting any points for this. You aren't doing your nod to God obligation. If you're here, it's because you're a fanatic or you were drugged here by a fanatic. And you know what? You believe in miracles or you wouldn't be here. When I tell you about seeing miracles and seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears open, people raised from the dead. My own son was raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours. Most of you don't doubt that. That's the reason you're here. You believe in a supernatural God. You are breaking away from just the traditional belief that God exists, and you're fanatics. So you don't doubt that God can do it. And if, you know, somebody came forward and if they fell over dead and I said, well, praise God, I've seen people raised from the dead. This will be no different. How many of you believe that God can raise this person from the dead? Boy, most of you would be right in there with me. Amen. But you know where I'd lose a vast majority of this crowd is if I say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray. Now think about this. When I was talking about God can do it and God has the ability and God might even do it for me, most of you would be right in there in agreement. But when I say, you come up here and pray for him, all of a sudden your faith turns to fear. Your enthusiasm turns to dread. What changed? What are you doubting? You don't doubt that God can do it. What you're doubting is that he'll do it for you. You know why you have more confidence in my prayers than you have in your prayers? It's because you know you better than you know me. If you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any faith in my prayers either. Amen. But see, you know yourself and you know you have a sin consciousness that doesn't make you doubt God has the ability, but you doubt that he's willing to use his ability on your behalf because you don't. Your conscience isn't giving you boldness. It's instead condemning you and making you feel like you're unworthy. And if you're just talking about who you are in your flesh, you are unworthy. But again, God is a spirit. And if you could worship him in spirit, based on who you are in Christ, based on the fact that you're a brand new person, if you could come before him in spirit and in truth, you could have so much boldness that you could enter right into the very throne room of God, right into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, so that you could obtain mercy. As a matter of fact, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, and it says it in nearly those exact words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Did you know that the word that was translated boldly right here is the exact same word that was translated boldness in Hebrews 10:19? Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, not justice, mercy and find grace. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And you know what grace is? Getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting the punishment that you're deserving. And grace is getting all of the goodness of God that you don't deserve. So mercy and grace. You can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And you can have boldness to enter into the very throne room of God, into the Holy of Holies. You know, I hope the things that I've said tonight has painted a picture for you, because we sometimes read over these verses, but this was written to help us transition from the Old Testament mindset. Some of you may not have understood everything about the tabernacle. You may not have understood the Holy of Holies and how that there was a curtain and the cherubs were there to kill any person who approached God if they weren't perfect and holy, because there was only one person that has ever been able to enter into the Holy of Holies based on their own merit and goodness, and that's Jesus. And Jesus is now our high priest. The Old Testament high priest was a type and a shadow of Jesus, but of course every one of them was sinners, so they had to offer sacrifices for themselves, and if they didn't do it right, like Nadab and Abihu, they were killed. But Jesus is the priest that entered in directly into the presence of God. And when he did it through his death and resurrection on the cross that broke the veil. And now you and I have unlimited access into the very presence of God. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, there should be no more conscience of sin. We shouldn't come before the Lord saying, oh God, I'm so sorry of all of this. And naming every sin real quickly, hoping that if we mention them, God won't. That's the attitude that most Christians have. Instead, we should come in, and if you're a sinner, if you've blown it, if you haven't lived up to something, instead of talking about how sorry you are, talk about how awesome God is to love somebody as sorry as you are. Instead of talking about your failure, talk about the goodness of God that has broken the veil, and you can now come directly into the very presence of God with no more sin consciousness through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That is awesome. If you really understood that, again, I say that the only thing Satan ever had on any of you was your sin. And if you had no sin consciousness, if you had no unworthiness feeling, every person in here believes God is awesome. You believe that God is bigger than the devil, bigger than your sickness, bigger than your failures. You have zero doubt about God. The only doubt you have is that He would ever do it for you. And so that's the reason you have to go to somebody else who you think is holier, closer to God than you are. You may not express it, but it boils down that you don't have boldness. You don't have confidence. Your own heart is condemning you because you don't understand that the veil has been broken, that there is no longer any restriction. You know, if I was to walk into heaven and if an angel came up to me and says, "What makes you worthy?" how would you respond? Well, since I've been preaching on this for nearly an hour, many of you would say the right things right now. But you know what? When you're home by yourself and the devil says, "Well, you did this and you did that," and you haven't been studying it, and you know what? Most of us just cave and immediately say, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry." And you don't receive because you don't feel worthy. You haven't entered into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You are still out there in the outer court. The veil is not rent for you. You feel like you have to be worthy. And if you aren't, you're going to be killed, or at the very least, not receive your blessing, not receive your answer to prayer. And you aren't entering in by the blood of Jesus into the holy place. You aren't acting like a New Testament Christian. You're acting like an Old Testament saint who had to constantly make atonements over and over because they were only types and shadows. They couldn't ever really cleanse you.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK152 titled "Enter Boldly" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.